Resurrection. So tonight the text comes from Leviticus 19:3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and father, and you should keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Before we dive in tonight, I'd like to quote from W.A. Criswell about the book of Leviticus. Hopefully that encourages you as it did when I was studying for it tonight. Criswell says, Leviticus is one of the most important books in the Old Testament. Without an understanding of the principles of atonement and holiness found in Leviticus, much of the New Testament has no foundation on which to rest. To say that Leviticus is one of the most New Testament books of the Old Testament would hardly be an exaggeration, for it foreshadows the person and work of Christ in a most remarkable and elucidating manner. So tonight, if you have been paying close attention, we have been breaking down this sermon into two questions that we need to ask. How we should believe, and then how we should live. So I think the best way to understand these texts is to take a look at the fifth commandment first, and then we can apply that to the fourth commandment. So the first question, what should we believe? So if you can't remember the fifth commandment off the top of your head, every one of you shall revere his mother and father. So this is our horizontal truth in love to loving one another. If we look at this verse, I think it's interesting that the mother is put first, which is not usually how names are placed in the Bible. Historically, the Israeli culture, the female isn't even referred to in some instances. But God shows us that that is not the case. I think it is to show that the duty is equally owing to both the father and mother, and to emphatically emphasize this truth to God's people. I can recall one of Pastor Hobson's sermons when he stated that everyone just refers to him, the Buteau family, as Holly and Hobson. I would think that they say the same about me and my wife. Also, I think it is a commandment for early Israeli people. If the mother survives the father, she must be revered and obeyed. Again, historically, if the father or husband was to die first, then the wife would be left on her own, especially if she didn't have a son to take care of her. One of the passages that helped me was Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Also, we need to think about is children need to be obedient to their parents. It implies that even if you are grown, you are still under the commandment to honor your parents. This may not be easy, especially in situations that require high medical bills, and it takes a lot of your small amount of time. But we need to remember that it takes effort to walk in obedience to God. I think back to a few years ago, there was a Gatorade commercial starring Peyton Manning and Derek Jeter that was black and white. The entire commercial played in slow motion to the dramatic symphony playing in the background. If you remember, as the camera gradually zoomed in closer and closer to the athletes throughout the commercial, Gatorade-colored sweat appears dripping down their foreheads, bright yellow and bright orange, standing out on the otherwise black and white footage. The commercial draws to a close with the tagline for the ad campaign, "Is it in you?" The implication is that the Gatorade that they drank off the field supplied energy while they were on the field. Growing in obedience takes purposefully exerted effort. You have to break a spiritual sweat in order to obey God. But the effort that we exert does not come from our own reserves of energy. The beads of spiritual sweat that runs down our face have their source in the Gatorade of God's power working in us. It should be noted here that in order for children to walk in truth, parents must themselves be walking in that truth. A great quote from C.H. Spurgeon that illustrates this truth is, "No parents can say from their heart, we have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth, unless they themselves walking in that truth." So, additionally, some of the verses that helped me while I was going through this was Exodus 21:15. "Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death." And then also Proverbs 1:8. "Hear, my son, my father, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching." And I also looked at 1 Timothy 3:4-5, which states, "He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" These are elder qualifications, but I believe that as Christians, we should be striving for that position, even if we are not in that position. So if honoring your parents is instructed by God through his law, then we as parents must use our authority over our children for continuing the honoring of God, particularly in the honoring of the Sabbath. The destruction of young people has often been researched to begin in the contempt for their parents and the trampling of the Sabbath day. "Therefore, you shall fear every man, his mother and his father, and keep his Sabbaths." Those who have hopeful children, they are then likely to do well in honoring their parents and keeping the holy Sabbath day as following. And this leads me to my next point, the fourth commandment, as you remember, "And you shall keep my Sabbaths." And this is our vertical truth in love. Our relationship to the Father filters down to our relationship with one another. And this line essentially repeats the fourth commandment found in Exodus 20:8-11. Reverence for parents is linked to reverence of the Lord. Submitting to parental authority is a step in submitting to divine authority. So the Old Testament scholar R.K. Harrison noted that reverencing parents is an act of piety towards God, since parents are substitutes for the Heavenly Father as far as their children are concerned. The command in Exodus 2:8-11 is specifically to remember the Sabbath. Here the command is to keep my Sabbaths, to hold them as God has commanded, as a day of rest. We can also look at Hebrews 4:9-11, which says, "He is our rest. When we remember his finished work, we keep God's Sabbaths. We remember to rest." We realize with the perspective of the whole Bible that there is a real sense in which Jesus fulfilled the purpose and plan for the Sabbath of the Sabbath for us and in us. Therefore, the whole scripture makes it clear that under the new covenant, no one is under the obligation to observe the Sabbath day. Some of the references are Galatians 2:16-17 and Galatians 4:9-11. Galatians 4:10 tells us that Christians are not bound to observe days and months and seasons and years. The rest that we enter into as Christians is something to experience every day, not just one day a week. The rest of knowing that we do not have to work to save ourselves, but our salvation is accomplished in Jesus, Hebrews 4:9-10. Yet we dare not ignore the importance of a day of rest. God has built us so that we do need one. 6 days of work and one day of rest is good for us spiritually, mentally, and physically. So it reminds me, like an athlete that requires recovery time after a hard practice or a game so they do not get injured, we need regular recovery time, or we will not perform well when it counts. Some people are like athletes that is always on the injured list game after game because they fail to allow for recovery time. So then this leads me into the next question, how we should live knowing this. First thing is to teach our children. As Martin Luther says, "Oh, how perilous it is to be a father or a mother where flesh and blood are supreme. For truly, the knowledge and fulfillment of the first three and the last six commandments depends altogether upon this commandment. Since parents are commanded to teach them to their children, as Psalm 78 says, how strictly has he commanded our fathers that they should make known God's commandments to their children, that the generation to come might know them and declare them to their children's children." Parents in this room, I would encourage you to read and review the New City Catechism questions together. You will learn so much from each other and gain different insights into each other's viewpoints while discussing these questions. The second point is, remember he who gave his life for us. So if you remember, Jesus lived a sinless life and died a sinner's death so that all who have faith in him shall live. We need to remember this above all else, for that's what really important. Think of Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we also need to remember the importance of gathering together as a body. I just wanted to take the time tonight to thank you all for coming here tonight. You could be doing anything else this night, like watching the end of the NASCAR race that's going on right now. How can we honor God without gathering together? If you understand the Bible and obedience to God, then all the other commandments will flow through that obedience. So tonight we have discussed the two questions about tonight's text, about what God requires in the fourth and fifth commandments. We talked about how we should believe. We also talked about how we live, and we broke down the fourth and fifth commandments and finished with some applications for how we should live accordingly. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for